This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm so happy that it's the weekend. It's been a month since I've had a weekend without work, so I'm looking forward to being a bum. It's my bum weekend until Sunday, of course. We'll get back to work then. So I guess for me, weekend is Friday, Saturday, and I am really excited about the sweatpants and hanging out at home with my zoo. My poor zoo had a traumatic Valentine's Day, so they need a little love this weekend and some time with their mama. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. We're inside the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans studio. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. So we've had a bunch of different topics over the first 3 hours of the show. Everything from getting attacked by a mountain lion. Believe it or not, the Colorado runner who got attacked by the mountain lion is sharing his story. And we have the audio of his account. Wow, it's pretty powerful. So we'll let you hear that again. We've got the latest Hall of Fame induction. If you have not heard from the candidates, well, they will spew their thoughts, their feelings, their emotions, all of that coming up in 15 minutes here on CBS Sports Radio. The NBA has hit the All-Star break, and it can't come a moment too soon for a lot of these guys. Who've already played nearly 60 games and are desperate to get away. However, for the Curry family, Charlotte is their oyster. Charlotte is their showcase. It's their home base. And we found out some pretty cool details about Steph Curry and his ticket request. If you missed my conversation with our Warriors insider in the first hour, that's part of our podcast, After Hours, AmyLawrence.com. Major League Baseball is where I'll start this hour, though, because as more pitchers and catchers and position players and managers report to spring training, the outcry over unsigned free agents has reached a fever pitch. Now, granted, any of the media who are also descending on the teams in Arizona as well as Florida are asking, because right now it's a lightning rod conversation for sure. And it feels like the great divide to me. Players and managers on one side who don't necessarily have to speak out, but they're going to bat for other members of the union, other players. I can imagine they realize that they very well could be in this situation, right? So if you ever had a colleague or a coworker get fired or get laid off and you think, man alive, that could have been me. One of the things that we used to say in my business, I haven't heard it in a while, but when I got fired, because I've been fired multiple times, we used to talk about how people think getting fired is contagious. So if you get fired, they get really nervous. They almost don't want to hang out with you or communicate with you anymore because they're worried that it might leap off of you and jump onto them like a cold. So yeah, it's one of those deals where these baseball players are thinking, that could very well be me. I could be in that situation feeling undervalued. And it's a strange narrative. But you've got the owners, general managers, some of whom have offered contracts, some of whom wouldn't wade into that pool right now. They're lined up on one side, and the players and managers are lined up on the other. Now, if you were with us earlier this week, we had a conversation with longtime Marlins president David Sampson, who offered Giancarlo Stanton, offered and agreed to, a 13-year, $325 million deal with Giancarlo Stanton. Those days are gone, but he gave us the perspective of the front office. Now we're hearing it from the players and the managers, even A.J. Hinch, who, of course, had Dallas Keuchel on his team. Dallas, a member of that World Series championship run, and Dallas is unsigned to this point. And so the manager, in this case Hinch, recognizes and feels for these guys.
There's a lot of talented players that are out there. A couple of them were with us and are near and dear to my heart, and I hope they land somewhere. If it's here, it's awesome. If it's not, then we'll have to figure out how to beat them. But I think our best players need to be in uniform when spring starts, and I hope that's still the case over the next 48, 72 hours.
But how, though? Honestly, when I hear players and managers speak about it, I still come back to the same point. Why is it happening, and how do you fix it? Because it's ludicrous to think that the best way to fix it is to offer these guys 10-year deals for $300 million without regard to whether or not it's a good investment. To me, this is about market correction. And yeah, there are a lot of teams out there that aren't going to make that kind of a major investment because they're not in it to win it right this second, or they don't believe that spending that kind of money is going to get them close enough to the goal of winning a World Series. However, if you're a manager or a player, I feel like it's naive to believe that if you just give these guys the money they're asking for, all is right with the world again. And that's myopic. But you're not necessarily hearing that. You're just hearing a lot of players saying these guys are being undervalued. Well, your value is what an employer will pay you. I mean, that sounds cold-hearted, right? But if you're out there and you're available and no one's offering you what you think you're worth, it doesn't mean that you're less of a person or less of a baseball player or less of a human. Where I'm not making a philosophical statement here. I'm talking about the business side of things. You're worth whatever an employer is willing to pay you in terms of dollars and cents. For instance, people complain to me all the time about NFL quarterbacks making $30 million. Nobody's worth that. That's outrageous. Or NBA players making the kind of money they're making. Well, you know what? You're worth what someone's willing to pay you. If someone's willing to pay you that kind of money, well then, I mean, that's what you're worth to them. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence here on CBS Sports Radio. Max Scherzer, another one of the players weighing in about how this current free agent market is making the sport look.
We continue to see teams, you know, discuss of not wanting players. And to me, this seems only to really be happening in baseball, where teams are making public statements that they don't want, you know, top-notch players. And to me, that's a problem within the sport.
See, I love Max. I love Mad Max. But that made me roll my eyes. I have not heard. In fact, if you want to Google it, Chris, just so that if I'm wrong, I will correct myself on the air. I have not heard one general manager say, we don't want top-notch players. You want them at the price that fits your business model. You want them at the price at which you feel like you're making a strong, positive investment. The spin cycle, it's going furiously. So it's frustrating for me because I'm sitting here in this position thinking, like, it's not black and white. This is not black and white. There are a bunch of different factors. And I still feel like it comes back to market correction. Can Major League Baseball even sustain $300 million contracts? And a lot of you tell me that's ridiculous, right? So do you remember our show we did maybe 3 weeks ago about the athletes in pro sports to whom you would offer 10-year deals? Well, there were very few names. There were some. A lot of it based on, you know, young, explosive, energetic, your whole career ahead of you, a little bit of a track record, maybe some winning, but many of you said to me, nobody's worth that kind of money or that long of an investment. And you're right. A decade. Do you know how much can change in a decade? Heck, in pro sports, life comes at you even faster. You can be the flavor of the month in December and be out of a job in January. That's just how it goes in pro sports. It's the nature of the beast. And so I when I hear players talking about this, and I recognize that they're trying to stump for their own. But to me, it's not about owners not wanting good players. I don't even know where that comes from. Of course they want good players, but they want them at a price that is somewhat affordable or considered a good investment. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. So, yeah, this run through spring training, it's going to be really interesting. A lot of eyeballs for a lot of different reasons on spring training this year. All right, before we hit our first break, and we'll give you the latest candidates for the After Hours Hall of Fame coming up inside of 10 minutes. I was mesmerized by the account of Travis Kaufman, the runner in Fort Collins, Colorado, who recently got attacked by a mountain lion. You may remember this story. He was on his way to Horsetooth Rock. He set out to run 12 to 15 miles by himself. And he got attacked by a mountain lion and actually got into a struggle with this 80-pound juvenile mountain lion. Just so you know, Kaufman is 5'10", 150 pounds. And his account of what happened on that trail in Fort Collins, Colorado is fascinating.
About a quarter mile into that run, I ended up hearing some pine needles rustle, like a stick break. And I turned around and just was pretty bummed out to see a mountain lion chasing after me. So I stopped and I threw my hands up in the air and I started shouting. And unfortunately, the shouts didn't deter it. So it just kind of kept running and lunged at me. It was going toward my face, so I threw up my hands to kind of block my face, at which point it grabbed onto my hand and wrist. And from there, it started to claw at my face and neck. And that's when kind of my fear response turned into more of a fight response, because I realized how close it was getting to my eyes, and it got a claw on my lip, and I tried to throw it off me at that point, and then we took a little tumble down the south side of the trail, and down there just kind of had a little wrestling match, at which point I was able to get on top of it, pin its back legs so I didn't get any soft tissue scratched out in my nether regions, and at that point, I was grabbing around for sticks. I only had my left hand free. My right hand was still locked in its jaws. Tried to get at its neck to see if I could stab it in the neck to get it to release. That wasn't working. The sticks were breaking. So then I picked up a rock that I had seen kind of near us. It was pretty heavy, and it was kind of hard to wield. And I tried to give it a few bashes in the back of the head, but fortunately I just kind of had a tough time swinging it with my arm still locked into the cat's jaws.
Ugh.
Really wasn't working too well. At that point, I knew with two pretty good blows to the back of the head that it didn't release, that I was probably going to have to do something a little more drastic, and I was able to kind of shift my weight and get a foot on its neck.
Travis Kaufman, 31 years old, in Fort Collins, Colorado, and at the point at which he got his foot on the cat's neck after what was a 10-minute tussle, the cat stopped thrashing. So he says, unfortunately, I suffocated it. He said it was a couple minutes of him having his foot on the cat's throat, on its neck, that it finally stopped moving. He then had to run 3 more miles to get out of the park. And he talked about the incredible high. Just as you can imagine, the adrenaline had to be surging through his body. Something else that he said that really stuck with me, he wasn't wearing headphones. I mean, I mostly run with headphones, not always, but I would say 90% of the time. But he wanted to be aware of his surroundings. And he says, I realize now, if I had been wearing headphones, I wouldn't have heard the rustling of the icy pine needles or the cat stepping on a stick and cracking it, he knew something was behind him because of that. So think about it. If he had been wearing headphones and hadn't heard those warning signs, the cat could have easily closed the distance. It was about 10 feet away when he first saw it, closed the distance and attacked him from behind, and there could have been an entirely different outcome. So thankfully he is okay. But gosh, what an ordeal. Travis Kaufman. That to me was mesmerizing. So I hope that you appreciate his description as well. I know we had talked about it on the show before. All right, coming up, the latest candidates for the After Hours Hall of Flame. Buckle up. We've got our polls live on Twitter, After Hours CBS, or on my Twitter, and then also on our Facebook page. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
Coach O, Ed Orgeron, the most recent inductee to the After Hours Hall of Fame, but it's time to add another bust. Are you ready? We've got four new candidates, two from the NBA, two from the NFL, and the poll just retweeted A-Law Radio or on our show Twitter and also on our Facebook page with pictures. You don't have that long, though, so get ready to cast your vote. Let's start with Kevin Durant, who a week ago, he was playing this game of silent treatment, the silent game with the media in the Bay Area, but decided he'd had enough and he was ready to share his opinion about the questions the media were leveling at him.
Let us play basketball. That's all I'm saying. And now when I don't want to talk to y'all, it's a problem with me. Come on, man. Grow up. Grow up. Yeah, you grow up. Come on, bro. I come in and go to work every day. I don't cause no problems. I play the right way. Well, I try to play the right way. I try to be the best player I can be every possession. What's the problem? What am I doing to y'all?
You were talking to the media.
So? Who are you? Why do I got to talk to you? Tell me. Is that going to help me do my job better? Nah, bro. I didn't feel like talking.
It's one of the mysteries of life. Who are you? Who are you really? Kevin Durant, I asked our Warriors insider first hour of the show whether or not there's been a ceasefire, and he says Durant is talking, though it's definitely a tenuous ceasefire at best. So Kevin Durant, grow up. Yeah, you, grow up. I got you. Yeah, no, I got you. I'm trying. It's not as easy as it sounds. Joel Embiid, he was kind of taking responsibility for a mistake he made late in the game against the Boston Celtics. But boy, does he completely do an about face at the very end of his press conference.
I'm an idiot. Should have kicked it out or take it out or shoot it. I didn't think about the situation and us not having the timeout. I thought we had one, and then as soon as I shot it, I looked and I was like, I'm stupid. But like I said, that's on me. I need to do a better job. And do right for your suck.
Wait, what? I'm listening. I'm feeling his pain. He's taking this loss on himself, and then the referees bleeping suck. Like, what? What just happened? Was that photoshopped in? I guess in the world of audio, it wouldn't be Photoshop. Was that doctored? Was that tape altered? It kind of felt like it. I'm an idiot. I'm stupid. But the referees bleeping suck. So that's from the NBA. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio, the latest Hall of Flame induction. We move on to the NFL. Man alive, I love when players are mic'd up. Every now and then, you get a moment caught on tape in a big NFL game that you'll just never forget. And for Dee Ford, we had that moment in the AFC Championship. The offsides call, now infamous offsides call, was caught on tape. It negated an interception. Remember, 54 million people watching. It negates an interception that could have helped the Chiefs onto the Super Bowl. And Dee Ford was incredulous.
They said I was lined up off sides. Was I?
It's so short. It's just a 6-second snippet into the life of Dee Ford, and yet it's so powerful.
They said I was lying to both sides. Was I?
Oh, I feel for the guy. Seriously, feel for the guy. All right, finally, he was, in fact, offsides. No, you were, actually. Yes, you were. So Tom Brady and the Patriots go on to win the AFC Championship, and of course, they hold this massive pep rally before they go to Atlanta to claim Super Bowl 53. It had to be the most awkward chant at a pep rally I've ever heard.
Let's let them hear it all the way down to Atlanta. We're still here! We're still here! We're still here! We're still here! We're still here!
All right. Oh, yeah.
Complete with mic drop. Oh, my gosh. So, is it Tom Brady? He's definitely still here. Is it Dee Ford, who is definitely offsides? Kevin Durant would like you to grow up. And Joel Embiid, well, he's only taking responsibility until he has a moment to curse out the refs. We got four different mic drops there. I think Joel Embiid was attempting a mic drop. So our poll is up on Twitter, A-Law Radio, or you can weigh in on Facebook, After Hours with Amy Lawrence. We'll reveal before the top of the hour, but it's our turn to vote. So Brad Heller's here in studio. Would you like to vote? I don't know if you heard all the candidates.
I heard the ones just now you just mentioned, unless there are more from
earlier.
No,
these are the four. Would you like to weigh in?
I'd go Durant.
Kevin Durant.
Yeah.
Are you going to grow up because he told you to?
No, I'm not going to listen to what he tells me to do.
You're such a rebel. Okay, Dave. Dave's first Hall of Fame induction. What do you think? Don't mess this up, Dave.
No, I never. I don't mess that. No. Joel Embiid. I'm a big, big Joel Embiid fan. I just think he's just a walking soundbite and just fantastic. It comes out of nowhere. It is. It's like Photoshopped audio. It just comes out of absolutely nowhere, and that's what makes it so good.
You're feeling for him.
I'm an idiot.
This was my
fault.
And then
he just loses it. It's great. I think it's perfect.
So the Joel Embiid edition of the mic drop. All right, Chris, what do you think?
Got to go with the Kevin Durant. It's really grown on me over the course of the show after playing it a few different times. And it's the one specific line where he goes, come on, bro. That's my favorite part of the whole thing.
Do you want to know what I told Dave before the show? We were listening to the audio and I was like, how come when I say bruh, it doesn't sound the same as when KD says it? It fits. It doesn't fit me. But yeah, no, you're right. That line, he's like, come on, bruh.
Come on, bro.
No, doesn't sound good when you say it either. All right, so two votes for KD, one for Joel Embiid. I'm going Dee Ford. I can't help it. This moment that could have changed the entire course of the Chiefs season and potentially the Super Bowl, and he's so incredulous. Can we just hear it again? Because I love it. Was I? Yeah. Yes, in fact, you were. All right, cast your votes on Twitter, A-Law Radio, on our Facebook page, The Big Reveal Before the Top of the Hour. It's After Hours on CBS Sports Radio.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Grow up. Yeah, you grow up.
Do I for f***ing suck?
Was I?
Was I? You were.
We're still here!
Yep, we got you.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Our latest After Hours Hall of Flame induction. We only need a second and a half from each one of our candidates, and you get the flavor. You get the tenor of this particular induction. Awkward pep rallies and incredulous moments caught on tape and a 180 and just Joel Embiid setting us up, and we fell for it hook, line, and sinker. And then, of course, KD, who just needs the media to grow up. And actually, I would agree with that. Sometimes we definitely need to grow up. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Thanks so much for tuning in. The poll, if you want to weigh in now to cast your ballot for the Hall of Flame, it's expiring soon. So get to it pinned to the top of our show Twitter, After Hours CBS, or on my Twitter, A-Law Radio. If the poll runs out, you always have Facebook as an option, and we will reveal your choice for the Hall of Flame, the next bust at the After Hours Hall of Flame. That's coming up before the top of the hour. 855-212-4227. That's our toll-free line. 855-212-4CBS. It's brought to you by Geico with a quick way you can save money. Switch to Geico. If you need homeowners, renters, or motorcycle insurance, you can get it all packaged up at geico.com. So I appreciate all of your Valentine's Day sentiments. Please forgive me for not responding to all of them. It was a little bit of a tumultuous day at my house, actually. You have not lived until you've driven around, driven your three pets. In my case, I have a zoo, three pets, around in rush hour traffic multiple times over the course of a single day. The things that we do for love. Now, it wasn't quite like Dave making dinner for his entire family, but this is what my pets needed. Oh my gosh, you guys, people were staring at me in the parking lot only because I could imagine I looked a little strange. So my dog was just coming along for the ride. She didn't need to go, but she doesn't like to be left at home. But my older cat, my 17-year-old cat, had to have an ultrasound, and then the other cat needed a shot. So in the morning, I'm so tired, right, because we've just gotten off the air. I have to wait to take my older cat and drop her off at the vet. But I also have to do an interview on one of our Wisconsin affiliates. Oh, my gosh. So in the back seat, the cat is howling. The dog is giving me this look like, Mom, why is this cat? Why is my sister sitting in my seat? Right. Because the cat's up on the back seat where normally the dog gets to sit. And I'm trying to do a radio interview. It was a bleep show. Thankfully, they didn't cut me off in the middle of the interview. So that was in the morning. And finally, I drop off the cat. I only have one cat carrier and I left it there at the vet. Oops. So then in the afternoon, I had, of course, Penny wanted to come again. I had to get the other cat into the car, drive back over to the vet. And then this is what we had to do. I had to go in, get the cat carrier, go back out to my car, get my younger cat, take her back into the vet, wait for them to give her the shot, walk back out to my car with the cat carrier, put the cat back out in the car, then go back in, get the older cat. Oh my gosh, it was a disaster. So there's this one guy who was standing outside of the pizza place. You know, it's Valentine's Day, so normal people are doing fun stuff. And I'm walking back and forth with the cat, with two different cats. He's just staring at me. What is happening right here? Maybe he thought I was breaking cats out of jail at the animal hospital. So anyway, they had a really traumatic day. One had shots. The other one had an ultrasound. It was just a tough day all around for the zoo. By the time I left the house last night, they were all dead to the world. Just all three of them snoring. Wouldn't even get up for their treats. They usually get treats before I leave, but no, that wasn't happening. So that was my Valentine's Day. Thank you for your kind words. Dave had a lot more fun. Though, I don't know, Dave, were you a chicken? You were supposed to make lasagna for your crew, your dinner of 18. What happened to the lasagna?
You know, I decided I didn't want to be in the kitchen for like 14 hours.
Oh, so, 14 hours to make a lasagna. That's one hell of a lasagna.
I don't really know what I'm doing in the kitchen. So for me, it could take that long. I just went with a faster option of salmon, rice, broccoli, and sweet potatoes. And everyone's still alive, so I guess it must have been okay.
I'm sure it was great. Did they eat it all? Is it gone?
I finished the last of it during the show.
Oh.
So, but yeah, everything else was gone. So they seemed to enjoy it, and if they didn't, they're good liars.
How much salmon did you have to make for your party of 18?
The answer would be 4 pounds.
4 pounds of salmon. I do love salmon. That's a lot of salmon. Do you know what I do? I buy a 3-pound salmon, cut it up into pieces, and freeze it, and you just went through 4 pounds like that.
Yeah, the guy at the seafood counter in the food store, he was like, wait, how much? And I was like, yeah, no, 4 pounds. And he was like, do you want me to slice it? I was like, please. Save me a whole lot of time.
Now, when are you going to make lasagna, though? Because I think Chris and I would be really interested in the outcome of said experiment.
Listen, I don't know if you want it, but I would gladly give it a try one of these weekends and bring it in on a Sunday night.
Chris, when is your birthday?
November.
Oh, well, mine's coming up. Wait, when is your birthday, Dave? We haven't had this conversation.
That would be May 14th. Oh. My wife and I actually share a birthday, just so you know.
Did you?
It's real. No,
that's
real.
That's really cute.
I didn't just make that up.
That's like Pete and his wife both having the last name Schwartz even before they got married. I mean, come on. You can't make this stuff up.
I didn't know that.
You didn't? Yeah. So his wife's name, this is Peter Schwartz, one of our anchors here at CBS Sports Radio. Of course, longtime member of After Hours. His wife was Cheryl Schwartz before he met her. Obviously, that was her maiden name. So when they got married, I don't know if the spelling was the same, but she didn't have to change. She didn't have to change anything. And so you guys have the same birthday. Well, that's adorbs.
Yes, May 14th. And believe it or not, it's my father's birthday as well. I'm not making any of this up.
Believe it. No. Not even a little
bit. It's true.
Okay, so then my birthday comes up next because you guys are suckers and have later birthdays than me. So that would mean lasagna for my birthday.
Just give me the date and I'll bring it in.
I don't want to tell the date on national radio. There's no need for that. It's actually a Sunday, so you could bake it on a Sunday and then you could bring it in on Sunday night.
Sounds fair.
How about them apples?
You got it.
For this Italian girl. That sounds awesome. Cool. So I'm glad you guys went. Chris, I didn't ask about your Valentine, but I don't want to put you on the spot. If you would just, he's like shaking his head no. So
no, it's fine. My Valentine's Day present was for myself, and it was to sleep in.
What? To sleep in to when?
Pretty late this afternoon.
Don't you always do that?
Not this late.
Well, we wouldn't ask you how late, but that's good. No wonder you're bouncing all over in there. You're feeling very refreshed. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. You guys give me an indication at some point how long I need to reveal our Hall of Fame inductee so I don't talk too much and miss that opportunity. You've got a couple minutes left to cast your votes either on Twitter or on Facebook. For a good portion of the show, we were talking about the news report from the Associated Press. And this should kind of tell you the AP is a, well, I mean, they do some sports, of course, but for the story to be covered by the AP, you're talking about a figure and a name that transcends just the world of sports, and Colin Kaepernick certainly does that. The report from the AP is that he wanted at least $20 million to play in the AAF, which is essentially saying thanks but no thanks, because he priced himself out. There's absolutely no way that a fledgling league, even one that's got a bunch of former NFL general managers and coaches and a handful of players, not many, but a handful of guys who at least had a cup of coffee in the NFL. There's no way that that league could afford to pay one guy $20 million. Bill Polian, who's the co-founder of the AAF, and they'll have their second weekend on the gridiron coming up Saturday and Sunday, he confirms that Charlie Ebersole, who's his business partner, the CEO, did talk to Kaepernick about playing in the AAF. They wanted him on board. And let's be honest, he would bring a ton more eyeballs to the field. Whatever you think of the AAF, there might be some who wouldn't want to watch. But I think for obvious reasons, Kaepernick is a lightning rod. And if nothing else but football, even, sign me up to know whether or not he can still play. I want to know. But to say your price tag is $20 million seems to indicate he's not actually that interested in playing football again. Or he doesn't believe that he would need any type of a stop anywhere else, a developmental league. And I'm not saying he needs development, but reps. Hasn't played since 2016. There's rust when a guy gets injured for 5 or 6 games or when he's out for half a season on IR. To get back to the rhythm and the timing and the speed of the game. But think if you really wanted to play, if that was really the goal, was to get back into football, this would be a really positive first step. Now, far be it from me to tell somebody else what to do about their finances, but he's made millions of dollars both through football and endorsements. Money isn't necessarily an object. And there's no way that the AAF was going to pay him that kind of money when it could only manage, or when it's already agreed to a business model in which it pays the rest of its players $250,000 over 3 years. It's just not feasible. Nor was there any way Bill Polian and Charlie Ebersole were going to agree to that. So I'm not sure if the story was intended to get out, who leaked it. But he priced himself out. He priced himself right out of football. So that's, I think, really interesting. Maybe he doesn't want to play football anymore. Or maybe he's confused at the fact that the AAF is not actually the NFL, nor is it really associated with it. All right, so you've sent your votes, both Twitter and Facebook, and we have the big reveal, the latest After Hours Hall of Fame inductee.
Let's let them hear it all the way down to Atlanta. We're still here! We're still here! We're still here! We're still here! We're still here!
All right. Oh, yeah.
It's just so deliciously awkward. But isn't that Tom Brady with these kinds of rants? Oh, my gosh. And producer Chris found a picture of him at the rally at Gillette Stadium. And, of course, you've got Bob Kraft chuckling away in the background because they're BFFs, father and son-like almost. But, yes, congratulations to one Tom Brady for being the latest inductee into the After Hours Hall of Fame. So now we're complete, right? We've got Bill Belichick from their last Super Bowl win. No days off. And now we've got Tom Brady. We're still here. Thanks so much for voting. I hope you have an awesome weekend. We'll talk to you Sunday night. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.